Appreciate this last song. Just a song. Thinking about that. I guess it's a little bit what my thoughts are on this morning. We're going to take a reading lesson. If you have your Bibles with you and want to read along, we'll take a reading lesson this morning out of the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Start reading in a 12th verse here in this 9th chapter. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where the testament is, there must also be the necessity of the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have often sacrificed since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. In our reading lesson here, we find and we see a lot of things that said. There's a lot of things spoken of here. Speaking of the Hebrew writer and that is speaking of here, he's speaking a lot of the things of the Old Testament times. How we have talked about many times here about the blood sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament, how that the lambs and the goats and the heifers and all the different things that were offered up to God for a sin offering to atone or to appease God for the sins of the people of the world. We can look over in the book of Exodus if anybody wants to look over there, and we can find over in Exodus, I believe, about the 24th chapter, where it spoke of the very same thing that we read here, Exodus 24. Basically, it tells about how Moses and in the covenant that God made with Moses and what that he was supposed to do, that he took the blood and he sprinkled it on the people and that he sprinkled it on the book. And God made a covenant with Moses and the people of Israel there that they were to do this. It goes all the way back to blood sacrifice, to the Passover lamb. You can go back into the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve sinned and God put them out of a garden and he prepared for them skins of animals. During the death of those animals, where he prepared the skins or the covering for Adam and Eve, there was a blood that was shed. There was an innocent blood that was shed for the covering of Adam and Eve. So we think about this and we can look all the way forward, and we read in our reading today is very clear. I believe my reading to me says enough. But to think about just exactly what Christ did for us, how that we know that the Bible teaches us that Jesus was the Lamb of God, and that he was the one that was sent for the sacrifice for our sins. The blood, his blood was shed for us. And you know, I was thinking about this. You know, if it had only taken the shedding of blood, you've heard, I guess, before that, you know, it just one drop of Jesus' blood would save your soul. No, it wouldn't. You can go back into the Old Testament and you can find that there's something that was significant about the shedding of blood. The shedding of blood had to do with death. There was death that was always involved. Each and every one of those animals that was typical of or a type or a shadow that was pointing to Christ in the Old Testament, they were not just bled out a little bit and their blood sprinkled from those things. No, those animals were sacrificed. They were killed. They were killed. You think about the depiction, and I was thinking about this, this last week we had the Lord's Supper, and we talked about many of these things, and we think about those lambs that were shed for their blood was shed for the Passover meal. You know, and during that time, there was thousands of lambs that were slain, that were killed in a few hour period of time. Thousands were taken to the high priest, and that blood was shed. And can you imagine in your mind for just a moment the amount of blood that there had to have been during this, and what it was a representation of to the people of Israel in that day? It took their minds all the way back to that place where the death angel came, and God told them if they would take that blood and they would put it on hyssop and they would put it around the lintels of the doorpost and the top of the door, that when the death angel came, that he would pass by them and that they would be safe. Their mind would run back when they seen that blood, all this blood that was out there. It signified something, and it meant something. Today, you and I, we don't see these things. We don't participate in these things. And the Bible clearly teaches us why, that Christ came and he was the perfect sacrifice for the sins of this world. He died once for the sins of this world. But we don't see or many times or get the picture in our mind of just exactly what the blood was. What it meant. What
and the Son of the God. He did. He suffered it all. You never seen the movie? I know there's a lot of things in there that possibly that you might not necessarily agree with 100%, but the imagery and of this is something that will stir you. If you know the Lord, the imagery in this will stir you to your very core. To have, we read out of the book, and then, but we see these things with our eyes, and we see this depiction of a man posing as Christ, and what they did to him. How did they whip him? They scourged him. That scourge was a whip with metal on the end of it that tore his flesh and allowed his blood to run out. The Bible says that they buffeted him with their fists, which means they hit him. They ran back and just hit our Lord and Savior. They spit on him. They humiliated him. And after they had done all these horrible things to him, and all the blood that was already shed at that point, they put upon him the very cross that he was going to die on to carry to the top of Golgotha's hill. He couldn't bear the weight of that, and they got a man named Simon from Cyrene to help him to bear the weight of that cross and to take him to the top of that hill. And when they got to the top of that hill, they nailed those spikes in his hands and in his feet. And as he looked down upon all those that were there, I can't help but think. He was there for me. He died on that cross and he shed his blood for me. See, the shedding of his blood signified death. At the end of that, prior to the end of that day, when they had to bring them down because of the Passover, that Roman soldier sent the spear pierced Jesus' side. The Bible says the blood watered down, signifying the good. He died. We look upon these things and we think about these things and how that it should stir us. That he died for us. He died for us. We can think about these things, but I don't want anybody to think for one moment this morning that it was the blood that saved us. It was this resurrection. Had he not been raised from the dead? Had he not been raised from the dead? To come back in our reading this morning, it said that he was the perfect sacrifice, that he was given, but he was given to a place and he was mediator between God and man. But he went through and he suffered and did everything that he could do for mankind. That there was, the Bible tells us that he was tempted at all points as we was, and yet, without sin. He drank that cup in the garden prior to his death. That cup symbolizing, I believe, you can look back in the Old Testament and you can find where there's a cup that is drinking of a cup there is mentioned in the book of Psalms in the 75th. I believe it's 75th Psalm, and over in the 51st chapter of the book of Isaiah, where it mentions see where it has a reference to the wrath of God and the anger of God towards the wicked. And Jesus was there in that garden, and as he was praying before that he died, the Bible says that that there was great drops of blood that poured out of his forehead because he was in such anguish. Because he knew the cup that he was going to have to drink. He knew that he was going to be the only way for mankind. Can you imagine this morning? In our minds, depression, or what it was again, probably that sins. Yes, he was going to have to take the sins of the world upon him. He was going to have to break that cup. But God's judgment, he got to come. For the sins of this world, for my dear sin, each and every one of us that's ever been saved by God's grace. Jesus took on it. That blood meant something, though. It didn't save us, but it meant something. It's what atoned for each and every one of our sins. It paid a price that man could not pay. See, in the garden, man sinned, and there had to be a man to pay the sin debt. There had to be somebody to come and offer up themselves. A perfect, spotless, without blemish, without sin, Lamb of God had to be offered. We find over in some of our readings over here, we can look over into the fifth chapter of the book of Romans. We can see it says here in about the sixth verse, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." We've received the atonement. Jesus shed his blood. And that atonement went Godward for you and I. His blood was given to pay a price for you and I. The atonement went Godward. It didn't go manward. It didn't go down to man. It wasn't to pay for you. It went to God to appease God's wrath and his judgment for the sins of mankind from the beginning of time to the very end. It was to please God. We think about these and we know that the Bible tells us over in the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians about how that God sent, I guess over here we can look, it says that talking about the body, and it's the same thing that Brother Neil preached on last night. It is the body is sown a natural body and is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit, Jesus Christ. Howbeit, that was not the first which was spiritual, but that which was natural, and after that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth earthy, the second man the Lord from heaven. As we know that Jesus came down here, that sin came into the world and death by sin, we know that sin is what causes this. It's going to cause every single one of us to die. Sin. The sin that runs in our blood. That inherited
sin nature from Adam. It's going to cause every person to die. And it's important that we know and understand that for anybody who's here today lost, Jesus died for you. But it goes further than that. He died that whosoever would believe in Him. So you must believe in the finished work of the cross. You must believe in the finished work of the cross. If you never get past the point of Jesus dying on the cross, and to the point where you can trust in Him and believe in Him with all your heart, then you will never be able to call Jesus Lord. You'll never be able to. You must get past that. Repentance and faith. John the Baptist was in the wilderness.
Judea, he was preaching. Repent and believe.
Jesus Christ in His first message that He preached. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. See, without trusting in Jesus, you have to trust in that finished work. He's done that. He's paid the sacrifice, and He's paid the debt of sin for all mankind. But there's a part that you have to play if you're ever going to get to heaven, and that's trusting in Jesus with all your heart. If you never do that, you'll never make it to heaven. I don't care what kind of ceremony you go through or whatever you've done in your life, it will not get you there. The only way to get there, repentance and faith in Jesus and that finished work that He did on the cross. I pray this morning, if you're here and you don't know the Lord, that you will be able to sing in your heart and your mind the blood that was shed for you, the death that Jesus died for you, the suffering that He did because He loved you so much that He knew it was the only way, that He had to die for you, that you might believe in Him and trust in Him, that you might be saved. That's the only way. He loved you that much this morning. Do you care? I hope you do. I hope you care enough to seek Him. Seek Him while He may be found. While you have time and opportunity here upon this earth, I hope you do. Jesus gave His life willingly for this world. He told them that no man takes my life. I give it willingly. No man takes my life. He loved us that much. He suffered that much. He shed His blood. He was the perfect sacrifice. He was the perfect for all of us. And it was that shed blood that paid a debt that I couldn't pay. It enabled me to trust in Jesus and be saved. It enabled me. Had He not done that, we would all sit here. That's my message this morning. It would work. We could have a song. And an opportunity for those, anyone that might be here this morning and lost, I want to give you an opportunity to see the Jesus that I've been preaching about, the one that loved you so much that He gave His life. He shed his life's blood for you. He loved you and cared for you that much. I want to give you the opportunity this morning to seek Him that you might be saved.